Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter number 20. I had two sermons that the Lord laid on my heart, outlined and everything, and ready to go. I didn't know which one to preach. And I told Brother Paul which one, or that I had one when we walked in, because our power is out at home, and a transformer down the street went out. And so all my notes were on the computer. I just happened to email one to my church email address and was able to pull it off the computer up there. And I printed it all out and got up here and decided that's not the one that the Lord wanted me to preach. So I'm going to preach, as Brother Mickey said, until the lights come on across the street. But don't worry, I've got notes. I've got everything. I'm not just going to chase rabbit trails or anything like that. But God's laid this on my heart, and I believe this is the message that He has for us tonight. And in Numbers chapter number 20, the Bible says in verse 1, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses, spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them." And tonight I want to preach on this subject. All this could be yours. All this could be yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you'll direct my thoughts and my mind. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to only say that which you would have me to say. And Lord, I pray that I'll leave nothing out and I'll add nothing to what the message that you have for us tonight. And Lord, thank you for, again, for the opportunity. And Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray that you'll seal the message to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, you've heard the story before, I'm sure, how Moses spoke to the rock once back in Exodus chapter 17, and then here in Numbers 20, he got mad, lost his temper, and he smote the rock twice. He was only supposed to speak to the rock, but he hit the rock the first time, and the second time he was only supposed to speak to the rock, and instead, out of anger, he smote the rock twice, and because of that, because of all of this situation, God said to Moses and Aaron, "You're not going into the promised land." And he said, all this could be yours, but you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And he sat up on Nebo. And I asked a friend of mine the other day, I wonder what Moses was thinking on Mount Nebo. And he said probably that he would make a good politician because he blamed it all on his staff. Think about it for a minute. I don't think that's what he was thinking. I think he was thinking about Meribah. The word Meribah means quarrel or strife. I think he was thinking about all of that. And then I think he was looking out at the promised land and remembering the bunches of grapes that were so big that they had to strap them to a big long stick, and two people had to carry them. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That's big grapes.
Yeah.
And I bet he was thinking about all the milk and honey, you know? And I bet he was remembering how it was in Egypt and how it could have been for him in the Promised Land and how he wasn't going to be able to go. And he was maybe thinking, all that could have been mine, but I traded it for a little bit of water out of a rock and a little bit of hot passion and smacking that rock. I traded all that for just a minute, just a minute of anger. Traded all that. And I got the title, honestly, from Wheel of Fortune. You know, back in the old days, back a long time ago, now they give away all kinds of stuff, you know. But back then, when $40 was a lot of money, I remember they would kind of pan the camera, and you had to, whatever you won, you had to buy, you know. You guys remember that? Do you remember Wheel of Fortune, you know, Pat Sajak, all that? All right. And you had to go through and buy, and they said, all this could be yours on Wheel of Fortune. I remember that. And I remember sitting in the living room, and I impressed my mom one night because they guessed a Y. And that's all they put up there. And I said, Yankee Doodle Dandy, and it was right. And I thought, I won, but I didn't win. I was sitting on the couch at home. All that could have been mine if I was only on TV, only right there. And all of that could have been Moses's. All of the Promised Land could have been his. But he was sitting on Mount Nebo, not able to go in because of this situation right here in Meribah. This situation right here. All of it could have been his. And I think there are three lessons that we can look at to see what kept him out of the Promised Land. What kept him out of the Promised Land? Now, the Promised Land, we need to make sure we get our types right and all the symbolism right here. The Promised Land isn't a type of heaven. People will try to make it sound like that. You know, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And they're talking about going into heaven and crossing over Chile Jordan to get into heaven. But that's not what crossing over the Jordan was all about. That's not what going into Canaan land was all about. That's the victorious Christian life.
Right.
When we get to heaven, we don't have to fight anymore.
Right.
We're
going to
be in heaven in our rest. But in the Promised Land, they fought. They had battles to fight. And we still have battles to fight here on earth. And if we're going to live the victorious Christian life, we have battles to fight. And we got to fight them and be victorious. And so if we're going to live the victorious Christian life, I think there are three things here in this passage. Three things, probably more, but we'll talk about just three tonight. Three things that will keep us out of the Promised Land. That will keep us out of living the victorious Christian life. The victorious Christian life can be yours, except for these three things. And number one, Moses lacked obedience. He lacked obedience. Look back with me in verse number 6. This is after all the people murmured and complained. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But in verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rock, and gather thou the assembly together, and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. And then now look down in verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. He disobeyed.
Right.
He lacked obedience. God said specifically, speak to the rock. And Moses smote the rock twice. He disobeyed. So number one here, he lacked obedience. He desired God's leading. He desired God's leading. And you see that in verse 6. Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. They really genuinely wanted to know what God wanted them to do. I really believe that. They genuinely wanted to know what God wanted them to do. They desired God's leading. But they didn't follow God's leading. They desired it, but number two, they defied the glory of God. They defied God's glory. They desired God's leading, and they defied God's glory. The Bible says at the end of verse 6, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. The glory of the Lord. God met with them and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to speak to the rock. That's all I want you to do. Speak to the rock, and it'll give you water. That's it. take your rod, go before the congregation, bring Aaron, and speak to the rock. And it wasn't just something that they thought they might should do. They didn't get together and draw straws and figure out what they needed to do. They didn't do paper, rock, scissors. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. They desired the leading of God, but they defied the glory of God, and then they were denied the blessings of God. And we see in verse 12, the Lord spake unto Moses, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation unto the land which I have given them. They were denied the blessings of God because they disobeyed.
Right.
Now people disobey God all the time. People disobey all the time. And the idea here, there's more to it than that, and we'll get into it some more. And there's more to it. But what is it that you're not doing that you ought to be doing that's keeping you from living the victorious Christian life? What is it? If you're not living the victorious Christian life, something is keeping you from that. Something is. Do you lack obedience? I don't know. I don't know if you do or not. On a crowd like this on a Wednesday night when it was raining outside like it was earlier, I mean, you guys are pretty faithful. You know, this isn't a Sunday morning crowd. This is a Wednesday night crowd. But odds are, even in a crowd like this, there's some disobedience. Odds are, there's some disobedience. So what is it that's keeping you from living the victorious Christian life? Where do you lack obedience? Number one, Moses lacked obedience. Number two, Moses lost his temper. Moses lost his temper. This is the hardest point in all of these for me to preach. Some of you say, really? You look so happy-go-lucky all the time. Well, you all know the story about how I lost my temper one time at home, and Gracie prayed for me that night and said, God, I pray that Daddy finds his temperature. He lost it today. And that's funny and all, you know, but this is tough. Moses lost his temper. Moses lost his temper. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We lose our temper, we sin in our anger, we're giving place to the devil. And if we're giving place to the devil, we're not going to be able to live the victorious Christian life. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because he lost his temper. Now, we might say he was justified in it. I mean, look at this. Look at this. Miriam had just died, and now there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together, and the people chode with Moses. That means they argued with him, and they fought against him, and there was conflict, and there was a struggle, and they were loud and in his face about it. And they said, would God that we had died when our brethren had died before the Lord, and why have you brought us out into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? Why did you do this to us? Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt? And they just moaned and complained, and I'm sure that he was frustrated. I'm sure. And he snapped. You know, he snapped. And God said, just speak to the rock. Don't hit it. Don't smite it. And Moses went out there and he said, you rebels! Here, you want water? Here! Smack the rock. It's kind of scary. Lost his temper. And God said, you can't go into the promised land. And when you lose your temper, I think it comes in stages. And I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them. But number one, it starts with our expectation. That better now? I didn't want to scream into the microphone and, you know, hurt anybody. But it starts with your expectation. And, you know, we have an expectation that we ought to be treated a certain way, you know. We have an expectation that certain things ought to happen. When I'm driving to one of my stops at work, I have an expectation that people will get out of my way. I have an expectation that they won't go the speed limit, that they'll go as fast as I need them to go so I can be on time. I have an expectation, you know. It's a wrong expectation. And by the way, Moses had every right to be angry. I think he had every right to be angry, but he didn't have any right to lose his temper. He didn't have any right to disobey the Lord. And especially, he didn't have any right to do what he did next, what we'll talk about next. But that doesn't matter. Our expectations, we believe we ought to be treated a certain way. And sometimes we ought to be treated that way, and sometimes we shouldn't. But when our expectations aren't met, then not only we have expectation, but then we have frustration, right? We have frustration. And when I lose my temper, it's because I'm frustrated. It's because I'm frustrated. When the power's off and you can't get ready and your kids are wondering when the power's going to come on and they're looking for flashlights and they're wondering how come you can't call Tico and they're wondering, they want to wear shorts and flip-flops and they, and you know, and they just on and another, and you get frustrated because I didn't expect to come home to the power being off. You know, and you get frustrated. I'm kind of telling on myself now, aren't I? You get frustrated. My kids say, yeah, you were right, Daddy, you were frustrated. My expectations weren't met. So from expectation, you go to frustration. And that's what happened to Moses. He expected things to go a certain way. He didn't expect to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. He expected to go in and for all the people to be with him and let's go on into the promised land. God gave it to us. And then the report came back that the spies said, oh yeah, we've got big grapes and everything, but there are big people to eat those big grapes. I mean, there are giants there. We can't go in there. God's not going to let us go in there and defeat those people. We can't do that. And so then the children of Israel had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're talking about not having any water. We don't have any water. And you brought us out of here. And he was frustrated. His expectations weren't met. And expectations were followed by frustration and then confrontation. You rebels. He didn't come out and say, now brothers, let's just get together and get this thing figured out. No, he called them rebels. You rebels. You want water? And he smote the rock. Frustration, expectation, frustration, confrontation. Then destruction. Destruction. His testimony was destroyed. And he did it in front of all the people. He didn't just blow up at somebody behind closed doors in his tent. He did it in front of everybody. Everybody. Testimony ruined. Chance of getting into the promised land ruined. All because he disobeyed God. He lacked obedience. And he lost his temper. He lost his temper. And God has convicted me about this. Really convicted me about it. I don't want my son to grow up like that, you know? And if we're going to live a life where we're losing our temper, I don't know about you. This might just be for me. I don't know. But if you're going to live a life where just under the surface, you got a low boil, a low country boil, more frogs do. Just under the surface, you got this hot temper that could just come out at any minute. You're angry, but you sin. Not angry and sin not, angry and you sin. You're giving place to the devil. I'm giving place to the devil. And when we do that, we're not going to be able to live the victorious Christian life. All this could be yours. All of it could be yours, but we lack obedience and we lose our temper. And number three, we labor in unbelief. We labor in unbelief. Look at it. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. They labored in unbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe God. God said, just speak to the rock. Water will come out of it. Just speak to it. But Moses didn't believe him. He went out there and got all mad and jumped down everybody's throat and struck the rock twice. And then water came out, sure. But it would have come out if he had just spoken. But he labored in unbelief. And if we live a life of unbelief, if we live a life of no faith, if we walk by sight and not walk by faith, then we're laboring in unbelief and we'll never enter into the victorious Christian life. We have to walk by faith. We have to walk by faith. When we labor in unbelief, we misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ. We misrepresent Him. The Bible says there, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. We misrepresent Him in sanctification. The word sanctify or sanctification is to be set apart. Be set apart. God's different than us. He's not a man. He's not a god, a little g. He's not like all the gods of the Canaanites. He's not like the gods of the Egyptians. He's not like the gods of the United States. He's God.
Amen.
He is the living God, the one true God, and he ought to be set apart.
Amen.
But when we live a life of sight, labor, and unbelief, we're misrepresenting him, and we're not showing him as set apart. Oh, he can't do it. He can't bring water out of a rock. I preached this Sunday morning next door, and I went outside and got a rock and took the shepherd's staff or crook from downstairs in one of the rooms, and I put the rock on the floor on a piece of plastic. And I spoke to the rock, and no water came out. It was amazing. I said, it didn't work. I said, rock, can I have some water? And all the kids said, no. And they didn't let me have any water. I said, if you don't give me any water, I'm going to hit you with the stick. And I did, and the rock broke. And it didn't give me any water. It didn't give me any water at all. And that's what Moses expected to happen. He expected to speak to the rock, and he didn't expect any water to come out. When I hit the rock and it broke and no water came out, Sammy said, well, it must be because you were disobeying Jesus. He got it. Moses labored in unbelief. When we labor in unbelief, we misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ in sanctification, and then we misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrifice. Not only are we saying that he's not good enough, that he's not set apart, but we're saying he's not enough, period. We're saying he's not enough, period. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and if you'll turn there, hold your place there in Numbers, we're going to go back there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible talks a little bit more about this rock. Obviously, it wasn't a normal rock. The Bible says in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, this rock was a symbol of something. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And that rock in Meribah that Moses was supposed to speak to, that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And when Moses smote the rock the first time in Exodus chapter 17, when he smote the rock the first time, that was enough. That was Christ, and that symbolized the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sins. And when he was to speak to the rock later on, and not to smite the rock, that was because the Lord Jesus doesn't have to be crucified again.
Right.
Only one time, and that one sacrifice was enough for everyone to be saved. And when he struck the rock again, he misrepresented the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And he said, God's not enough. He's not enough. Not only is he not different than any of the other gods, but he's not enough. Not enough anyway. And we do that, don't we? When we labor in unbelief, live a life of no faith whatsoever, we misrepresent the Lord in his sanctification. He's not set apart, but we misrepresent the Lord and we say, oh, he's not enough. He's not enough. I got to work for it, you know. I got to work hard for it. Now, I believe you ought to work. I believe you ought to labor for the Lord, but I believe you ought to labor out of faith. You ought to do it looking unto Jesus, and you ought to do it representing the Lord well. And Moses didn't do that. He didn't do that. God said, Moses, all this could be yours, but you lacked obedience, and you lost your temper. And worse than that, you labored in unbelief, and you misrepresented the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't sanctify him. The good news is, the Lord Jesus is going to be sanctified. The Bible says there in verse 13, this is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Moses and Aaron didn't sanctify the Lord, but God was sanctified in them. God sanctified himself. He set himself apart. He said, if you're not going to live a life that's going to show others that I'm not like other gods and that I'm the one true God, well, I'm just going to sanctify myself. God will get his glory.
Sure.
God will get his glory. But we ought to labor, not in unbelief, but in belief.
Amen.
We ought to labor in belief. Moses lacked obedience. He lost his temper. And he labored in unbelief. And he was right there.
Yeah.
Here's the promised land. Right there. Just out of reach. Just can't get to it. He sat on Nebo and watched and just looked at it. And then he died. And the Bible says that his eyes weren't dim and his strength wasn't abated. He could see just as well and he was just as strong as he had ever been. He may have been 120, but he was a pretty spry 120-year-old. He could get around pretty good. He wasn't on his last leg. He wasn't about to die anyway. He was full of vitality, sitting on Mount Nebo, thinking about Meribah and how all that could be his. But because he lacked obedience, and because he lost his temper, and because he labored in unbelief, he never got to realize the rewards of the promised land. And I wonder how many of us tonight are sitting on Mount Nebo, lacking obedience, losing our temper, laboring in unbelief. And the promised land's right there. We could just have it. Just have it. All we got to do is obey. All we got to do is yield ourselves to God, yield our expectations to God. Stop losing your temper. All you have to do is stop looking to yourself and laboring in unbelief, but look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And all that could be yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all to live the victorious Christian life. And I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to do the things that I ought to do. Help me to follow through with what you've placed on my heart. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll obey you in that first. Lord, I pray that they'll be saved tonight. But Lord, if there's someone here that's been wandering around in the wilderness and they haven't been obedient or they just haven't been living for you like they should and not living the victorious Christian life, Lord, I pray that you'll get a hold of their heart now. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to them. And I pray that they'll deal with whatever it is that's keeping them out of their victorious Christian life. In Jesus' name.